Indeed, we do thank you for your prayer and support. And I know you're praying because I met Pastor Les and Pat at the World Pentecostal Conference, and we just had a brief conversation. They were asking for an update of what we were doing in our ministry, and she said, you know, we pray for you every week. So I know that you folk are praying for us. Thank you so much. Without that, we cannot do what God has called us to do. So God bless you richly. I just want to read a portion of scripture, which has actually become my life's driving force. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Catch that. Sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There were sheep without a shepherd, and Jesus said, we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. And you know, God is calling people out into the harvest field, not just missionaries from Canada to other nations. He's also calling missionaries from other nations to various other nations, and including back to Canada. But God is also calling local pastors and church leaders to go into the harvest fields of their own countries. But what we have found out at Global Ed, I'm a part of the Global Ed team, POC Global Ed, we found out that there is a gap which exists. We've been training quite a number of people in different Bible colleges and seminaries around the world. But very often there are pastors who are called into ministry, and they are called to pastor local churches, but they already have families, they have very little money, and they have very little time because they're trying to support their family. They're called to be the pastors of those churches, but they do not have the training to do so. So in order to fill that gap, and case in point, we stumbled on it, I would say, in northern Philippines, the pictures that you saw, among the world-famous rice terraces of Banaue, there's a children's home called Noah's Ark, run by one of our global workers, Linda Veldhutsen. Children who have no place to go are brought there to be taken care of, many of them special needs children. Many of these children are referred to the home by rural pastors. Some of the pastors have reached out to Linda and asked if a ministry training school could be started, since many of them have little or no ministerial training. They would like to learn how to serve their congregations better. They do not have the time or the resources, as I mentioned, to go to Bible college or seminary. So about 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to teach at one of the pastor seminars that Linda organizes from time to time, and met with some of these church leaders. They asked us if we can do something to equip them more effectively. And the conversation started, and we began to work on developing a training program. We're calling it the Ministries Essential or Ministry Essentials Training Program, METPE. I want everybody to say METPE. METPE, Ministry Essentials Training Program. You're going to hear about this in the future, because God is going to use this as a tool to touch workers all around the globe. Because in the meantime, as I was developing this program, I was focusing on this Philippines context, but I had a conversation with Kirk Kaufeld, our Global Ed Director, about how this can be incorporated into Global Ed Institute. And he said, Kirk said he was beginning to get calls and emails from places around the world which have similar training needs. There's an equipping gap that needs to be filled. So as we continued the conversation, we've actually formally launched this as a non-formal training program. And there are 12 courses. that we are in the process of writing, and they provide biblical, theological, and practical ministry training for pastors. So last February, as we saw in the video, Liz and I went to Noah's Ark in Banaue to launch the program. About 25 pastors and church leaders enrolled, and they are continuing every month. And last month, August, they did the seventh course. Like, they are pumped. They really are excited about what they are receiving. And so by the end of the year, I'm going back to the Philippines the beginning of November, end of October, beginning of November, and we are going to teach three courses in the 1 week, and then they will graduate. So we will have our first graduates of the Ministry Essentials Training Program. We've been using this as a pilot test program, and I've been getting emails and calls, and people are knocking on our door, Global Ed. For instance, we have a missionary to French West Africa. He says, can this stuff be translated into French? Because I have 3,000 pastors who are looking for a training program because their governments are saying, you're pastoring a church. How do we know that that you know what you're doing? We need to see a certificate. Well, Global Ed Institute will give them a certificate if they fulfill the qualifications of completing the 12 courses. So we are excited about where this is going. Just a couple of weeks ago, actually last week, I was talking by WhatsApp with a pastor, an apostolic leader in Nigeria. He wants to run this program in his apostolic network. Got an email the other day. They want somebody in Italy wants to run this program. So this thing is going big. You're going to hear about it, but I need you to continue to pray. So I'm going to close with that, and I want to introduce our speaker for this morning, Pastor Anton Ratnaraja. Pastor Anton and I have known each other since 1988. When Liz and I were with our family in Sri Lanka. He was one of the young up-and-coming pastors. I know this man, and I know that he has a heart for God. God has used him mightily in Sri Lanka. He has planted churches in Dubai and in other places in Sri Lanka. And I know that you will be blessed as he ministers this morning. I had the chance of being in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday this year. And I'm going to let Pastor Anton tell you what happened on that Sunday. It's very significant, and I know you will be blessed. God bless you, Pastor Anton, as you minister to us.
Thank you, Pastor Rainey. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me here.
I give glory
and praise to our Lord.
Amen.
Yes, my name is Anton. I'm from Sri Lanka. As Pastor Rainer said, 21st of April, we were mightily moved in the spirit, and Pastor Rainer was preaching, and I was translating. Little while later, I can see the people are moving out and coming in and whispering to somebody. Like that, it's about 10 to 20 people were doing this. I was wondering while I'm translating, what is happening? Later on, we found out there was 3 bombs in the country. Then later on, we found out another 3, altogether 6, on Sunday itself. Actually, we were almost to celebrate 10-year freedom, because after the war in North, after that 10 years, we had peace. But suddenly, on an Easter Sunday, the Christ Resurrection Sunday, they are bringing death. Over 250 people died. My dear brother and sister, please continue to pray. Pray for Sri Lanka, and very specially pray for Sri Lanka's church, because we feel they are aiming the church. That's why we need you all prayer. Because God has kept you all here so that you can pray. You all have peace? Praise be to God. and we are searching for the peace. It's our brothers and sisters come together and cry out to the Lord, and Lord will deliver Sri Lanka in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please turn the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Second Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father," he cried, "the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Dear brothers and sisters, Elisha was a great man of God. If you check throughout the Bible, 2 Kings, in the beginning, you can see there was a widow with the two children. Came to him. He said, "What have you got? A little bit of oil. Go and shut the doors and windows and start pouring." And he was pouring. Oil was coming. Ultimately, they paid their debts and rest of it, they lived. Such an anointing this man had. Later on, you saw Naaman, chapter 5. We see he was cured from his leprosy. How? As the man of God said. He was doing many miracles. He was having faith. He was having many miracles after miracles. And Elijah was a great man of God. He was a holy man. But in the Bible say, chapter 13, verse 14, he died with this sickness. When he was dying, the king came and said, these are the words he said, my father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, because he had faith in this man. Because when this man is alive, when this man is around us, there is victory always. The king knew that. And he's very much worried now. Who is going to be next to help me like this when I am in the situations? But the scripture says, Elijah was dying this moment because of this sickness. But when I read chapter 13 verse 20, it says Elijah died and was buried. Verse 20. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touch Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Praise be to God. My question is, he has faith to deliver people from their situation. He had faith to heal many people in their sickness. Why couldn't he apply that faith into his life? Today, we lay hands on people, we pray for others. But when we, in our situations, we cry and we murmur, we worry, we act like, why we don't have hope? But remember, the Spirit of God is in you. You can cry out and say, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. Don't cry out and say, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Say, I am healed in the name of Jesus. Believe you have faith in you. Believe the Spirit of God is with you. Elisha was able to heal many people and deliver these people from their situations. Because he had the Spirit of God. It's so funny. After he did, 1 year later, There was the anointing even in the bones. When we read, when we hear the word of God, it's not going to your heart only. It's not going to be your body, even to the bone in your body. Look at this. A dead man came to life just because of dry bones has anointing. Who said, I didn't pray for the last 10 years? Remember, if you believe right now, you can pray for people and you can pray for your situation. He said, who say, Pastor, I'm not ready for this. You may not. The Spirit is ready to use you this moment, my dear brother, situation. My dear brothers and sisters, what is the situation are you in today? What is the problem are you facing today? What is the thing that made you pull yourself back? If the dry bones of Elijah can bring man to a life, your little faith can bring you the victory today in the name of Jesus. When I'm thinking of Sri Lanka, my ministry, yes, we'll give a big hand to God because such a God is in me, in you. Turn up to your friend and said, he is in you. You know, the way you say he's in you, I don't believe you believe you. I honestly don't believe. Say he's in you. It's terrible. Say he is in you. Amen. Now I'm getting. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, 26 years ago, when I came to the village that I am ministering, it is Buddhist and Sinhalese. I happen to be a Tamil who doesn't speak at all Tamil. Because my mom is Sinhala, my dad is Tamil. But I came to this village as the Lord asked me to. One person asked, what are you doing in this area? You're a Tamil in Sinhala community. I was silent. Then he asked, what are you doing? You are a Christian. And this is a Buddhist village. I was silent. Because I thought I should not answer him. But 1 week later, I found a place. One of my friends said, Anton, there is a land, but nothing built on it. So I'll give for 1 year because next year I'm starting building my house. So what I thought was, fix some about 8 posts and put a canvas roof, tent. And I was preaching to my wife for 8 months. Can I have some water, please? So 8 months I'm preaching. Few months later, my wife said, Anton, definitely I know today also you will be preaching to me. So do we have to carry 25 song books and 5 mats and the guitar and the tambourine? I said, Silverine, believe you're going to be a great mom for a whole entire congregation. He said, what congregation? I just started with your, who is in you right now. So my elder daughter, Hadasha, was to be born. But a few months later, she said, now do I have to carry 25 psalm books and 5 mats? And the baby. And that time I didn't have a motorbike even. So I had to walk 2 kilometers to the, I call it church. It is my church. 8 months later, I got the first believer. I was playing the guitar on the ground. I saw a man is going this way. I said, Korabashadri Antalabashe. Then he was coming this way. Korabakashandili Antalabashe. But 5 times, I'm shivering. He thought, my wife thought, full of Holy Spirit. No, I'm shivering for a fear. This fellow coming in now straight, because I was facing a lot of persecution from the beginning. He came in straight in and he said, what are you doing? Your music won't give me peace even to die. Later on, we found out he was having a poison in his pocket to commit suicide. But when we worship the Lord, thank you, sister. Thank you. When we worship the Lord, he couldn't even commit suicide because there is anointing in the worship. Amen. Thank you. So what happened? He was my first believer. He gave his heart to Jesus. We give glory to God. And I'm so excited. I feel like I got 100. Just imagine after 8 months you get one. That's something. That tells God's call is on my life. But 8 months later we got a place. And today over 300 people in our church. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I used to get bombs. Twice they came to stab me. One occasion, 300 villagers and 9 temples, Buddhist monks, came to my church to assault me. Most of my congregation is poor, so government is giving a small aid, about 3,500 rupees, we call Samurthi, and they are getting. So they send a message, if we find one even, we will cut that small gift that we are giving to the people. You know, I had at that time, I had about 120 people. So that particular Sunday when they told it, next Sunday, they didn't come. Only it was 43 people. Rest of the people who are getting the dates from help from a government. So they didn't come because they don't want to lose that. Okay, 43 people. Now I'm facing over 300 people. So I put my head down when the people came. I said, Lord, here I am. This is your ministry. I am for you. Then they were shouting about half an hour to 1 hour. They were shouting and all kinds of filth and all kinds of things. And they want to hit my, but none. They hit me. I saw the hands are coming, but couldn't reach. I'm so close. Then I put my head down. Then I saw they are removing their slippers. You know, in Sri Lanka, if somebody hit him with the Sri Lanka slippers, that means you are really low. You know, I said, Lord, here I am. I am going to have a party with slippers now. I was crying. Now I'm laughing, actually. I was crying. So I said, Lord, protect my daughters. Protect my wife. Here we are. Here we are. Then I saw the legs are going that way. And they start running. I looked up, they were running. All over 300 people were starting running. Even the priests were running. And I was running behind them. Before they changed their mind, I closed the door and want to put a padlock it. They said, go inside. We'll close and go. I said, okay. But 1 week later, I got to know why they ran. You know why they ran? Suddenly, about 6.5 foot tall, 400 men stood behind me. I thank God I didn't see them. You know, if I saw them, I would have said, okay, come. But I was shivering because I didn't see them. Only they saw God's army and his chariots and his horses. My dear brothers, he is willing to come before you also. He is willing to come when you are in a situation. But if you have a faith, a little bit of faith, call on to him and he will appear before your situation. I have first-hand experience because I have that experience. I give glory to God. I give glory to God. One day, one guy came and said, look here. We don't want to hear your music. We don't want to hear your praise. We don't want to hear your preaching. You get out from this mess. I said, the Lord called me. I know the children are not here, so I will tell it. He lifted his sarong, we call pyjama or sarong. He lifted and said, show his affairs and said, look at your hallelujah. And I got angry. And I touched his heart and said, your heart is not good. 1 week later, he have to have an open heart surgery. While he was in the hospital, he said, he told his wife, can you call that pastor? You know, I went and I gave him a hug. I said, I love you. I'm dying. A major operation. I said, no. You're going to leave and you come to my church. Today he's in my church. But there was the operation and changed the heart. I give glory to God. Believe my brother, if you have a little bit of faith in Christ, he will do wonders in your life. We sing a song, if you believe what I believe, we together pray, we shall bring the salvation to our nations. Only the believe in Christ, we will do things. So what I want to see is here. When the Moabite raiders came, these people saw, who was carrying the Israelite body, they saw the people are coming to, the raiders are coming. So they didn't check where it was, they just put it into the tomb it was available. Without knowing, they put touch the anointed tomb. Sometimes you think yourself, down yourself. You think there's empty and hollow in you. But if you heard the word of God, if you have trust in the Lord, you can bring life, even your empty situation. Others can receive the life in your situation. Just imagine, if you can bring it to your life, yourself into life, if you believe in God. But the problem is, when Elisha was doing all marvelous thing and a miracle thing, why couldn't he apply the same anointing to himself? Today the problem is Christians, we know how to preach, we know how to pray, we know how to encourage others. How about ourselves? How about our situation? Don't give it up. The Lord is with you. He promised he will never forsake you. Till the end of the earth, he will be with you. His word is not a human word. His word is the Almighty God's word. He is the truth. And he will, when they say he will take care of you. I have many testimonies. I call myself, I am Acts chapter 29. I call myself because I have thousands of testimonies how God has been doing. One day, I didn't have any food to eat. Any food. Then I asked my wife, okay, then we'll have a cup of tea. When you say cup of tea, it's not just tea. When you say in Sri Lanka cup of tea, lots of milk and a little bit of tea. That is what. When you all say tea, I get tea only. But I mean tea, lot of milk. But my dear brothers, sisters, my wife said, no milk. My son was about 4 years old and he said, Dada, are we poor? I'm very careful with my words. That's why where I am today. I said, yes for today, but tomorrow we will be rich back again. So we had the tea while she was preparing that plain tea. I took the guitar and I was singing. I want to sing a song. Then suddenly the words start to come in. I said, Lord, here I am. The song came like this. I am blessed in the house. You know why I sang? Because no blessing in the house. I am blessed in the field. You know why I sang in the field? Because church is not taking care of me properly. Oh, I am blessed in going and coming. Because I love to have a good vehicle. I was having only a motorbike and 5 of us going on that motorbike. By the way, it's not like the Harley Davidson that you all have. I'm having like quarter of that size. And we 5 going on it. Praise be to God. That's itself a miracle. By the way, so I said, I am blessed in going and coming. I am blessed. That's what Jesus said. 20 minutes later, I'm receiving a call. Pastor Anton, how are you? I said, good. I'm doing good. Great. Can you come this way? I said, okay. What's the problem? No, Pastor, you have to come. Come with the whole family. Okay? I'm blessed in and going. I'm going in and coming out. Okay. So I went to the house. I said, yes, what's the problem, Puta? Son. We call Puta for, what's the problem? He said, Pastor, today my wife's birthday. Praise be to God. And I asked my mom and my sister to come, and they didn't come. I'm really angry with this situation. And tomorrow I don't want to see this cake. I said, okay, I'm now. Then she said, Pastor, please have this cake. They gave a big size, about this size, and gave her iced coffee. Wow. I had it, and I'm overwhelming. Praise be to God. We are blessed in the house and now in the field. Praise be to God. And I'm finished, and I prayed and blessed them. On the way, I was singing that song, I am blessed. Then I was telling my son, son, poor people eat bread in the night. Rich people eat cake in the night. Hallelujah. Let's give a big clap to God. He is awesome God, and he is a deliverer. If you have little faith, he will do wonders in your faith. But the problem is, Elisha didn't apply to himself. I am, of course, applying to myself. That's why I am in the victories. Dear brothers and sisters, you may hear the word, but go today home. Apply the word of God. Apply the scriptures into your life, into your situation. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 1, God faced his first problem. He faced his biggest first problem. The earth was dark. It filled with darkness. He didn't scratch his head. He didn't say, oh, I thought of trying to do something. The first itself, there's a big problem. No, he didn't go to even think about it. You know, in fact, he didn't even mention about the darkness. He came and said, let there be light. Today, I encourage you, don't speak about the problem. Speak the victory over it. If you're sick, say, I am healed. If you have financial situation, say, I am blessed. Because I have experienced what I'm saying. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I have about 60 feet and 60 feet this way, a church. And I'm packing over 300 people into that. You know, it's knocking each other's situation. But I praise be to God. And neighbor, I was praying about neighbor's land. Lord, I need this land. I need this land. But one day the neighbor came and said, Pastor, we have a situation. Actually, he was a Buddhist guy. We have a situation. I said, what's the problem? I can see demons in the land. I said, okay, tell me. The toilet is getting red color, like a blood. When I'm sleeping, the bedsheet moves. When my sister was cooking and preparing meals, there was a lady standing behind her without legs and supporting her. Oh, I said, this is such a scary situation. You know what I said? How about, I don't have one single cent. I said, how about with the situation I'll take the land? Because I need that land. This Buddhist man said, because I'm here, they are about 15, 20 years now. This Buddhist man said, Pastor, I know a pastor called Anton. I'll ask him to cast all the demons and I'll sell back to you. You know, he knows me very well. My dear brothers and sisters, today he's in the Lord and he's a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. And I said, don't worry, I will buy. You know, he doesn't have guts to say how. Because he knows somehow the Lord will do it. So like that, when Jesus saw this darkness, he said, let there be light. What is your problem? What is your situation? What are you struggling? What are your challenges? Say in the name of Jesus,
Let there be joy. Let there be peace. And the Lord will give you that peace. Lord will give you that victory over your life. But you can come to church. And if you don't apply the faith that you God has given you, if you don't apply the anointing that Lord, if you don't apply the word of God into your life, you will be keep on blessing others, but not to yourself. So today I want to encourage, even though Elijah was a great man of God, don't be like him. Don't be like him. Be like Christ. Be like Christ. Because he at the cross, he did it what the Lord asked him to do it. And today he is the victorious and he is seated right hand side of him. Likewise, you will be overcome like Christ and will sit right hand side of the Lord Jesus if you overcome. The great faith that Lord has given, the great word of God, apply to your life. If your children are going astray, apply the word of God into their life. That's your duty. That's your faith. Believe he will bring victory over to your life. Amen. How many receive the word of God today? Hallelujah. Let's bow down our heads and say, dear loving heavenly Father, here we are. I want that faith. I want to proclaim the word of God. Lord, I want to say it from my mouth. Let me hear and let me be blessed. Your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, give me 1 minute. When Mary was very young, angel came and told Mary, you're going to be a mother. There's going to be a baby in you. What? I'm not even known to a man. No, it's from the Spirit. Till that she was not conceived. But when she said, here I am, Lord. I believe your word and I apply. And when she said from his mouth, the faith came through her ear and she got pregnant. Likewise, if you receive the word and read it, loud it, and said, I am going to have the victory over my situation, you will be pregnant with your victory today in the morning. Amen. May God bless you all.